Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We are here live tonight. Good to be with you. It is Thursday night, and so get your communion ready, and let's get ready to take communion together. Yeah, we got it. Yeah, there we go. All right, good to be here tonight. It is Thursday. Get your communion. I think we've got to get mine together here so we can bless the Lord tonight, partake of his body and his blood, and believe him for some blood change. How about that? No video tonight. Couldn't get it together today. Just didn't do it. So that's it. All right. So just letting you know about that in case anybody is trying to get on the video. It's not going to be happening tonight. We should be back on next week. All right, so here we go. So whatever you're believing God for tonight, we're going to believe God with you to receive the will of God, number one, first, right? That's the main thing we want is the will of God. Anything else is an Ishmael, or could be an Ichabod. We don't want one of those, right? Yeah, so welcome tonight to that place where we're going to believe God to speak to you, to help you understand maybe more about how to receive from the Lord, how to, you know, just be in line, you know, how to wait for God if you need to wait, how to, you know, be aggressive if you need to be aggressive, how to stand still if you need to stand still. You know, sometimes standing still means it's coming your way, literally. Yeah, so. So I'm looking forward to that enough. When the Lord tells me to stand still, most of the time it's because it's coming to my address. It's like a delivery, right? If the delivery boy's coming, you don't want to be taken off because you're going to miss it. And you might just sign for it. How about that? That'd be good. So whatever God's doing, that's what we want to be doing. As you said, I do only what I see my Father do. And we want to make sure that we're doing that. So get your communion ready tonight. Like I said, we're going to be taking that here in just a little bit. Been doing a lot of studying, a lot of stuff happening, and doing a lot of learning right now. I ask a lot of questions. I'm one of those guys like Jesus in the temple. I'm asking a lot of questions. I'm looking for answers. Yeah. So really, really cool. And I love asking questions and getting answers. You know, sometimes God uses people, sometimes he uses, you know, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and will, you know, give me the Spirit of Revelation, will start showing me things. And so that I am very grateful for. I have a lot of little golden nuggets tonight I might want to share. I'm not sure exactly how we're going to do all of it tonight yet, but we'll see what goes on. We're getting started a little bit earlier than we used to do, which means we're on time, right? Yeah. One of the things that, you know, we're entering into a season that's going to be, it's already amazing to me. It's been accelerating amazing to me personally. Hopefully you have to too. because I know we all want to be used by the Lord. It's not, we don't want to sit and just watch somebody else be used by the Lord, right? And that's what Jesus was so lovely about, was that he said, you know, what I'm doing, you can do it too. So don't just sit back, right? Join in. And the whole time he was, you know, training them. That one time he, you know, appointed them. And they came back saying, I'm not sure if it worked for me because I tried to catch this devil out and it didn't work. Right. One of the fathers came back, right? Remember that? And said, what's wrong with your disciples? And they're not like you. But he was training them and they were learning. They were starting to find out, you know, what it's like to work with the Holy Spirit. You just don't automatically jump in on all that stuff. You know, usually when you're fresh and new, you kind of flop around in the right directions. Somehow, I don't know how that happened exactly. It happened to me. I just flopped around in the right directions. Somehow God had enough hold of me, had a hold of me enough to where he could, you know, do that. And I know he does a lot of people because a lot of times in our ignorance. And so you need to, you know, get a hold of that and believe God to use you in whatever state you're in. He wants to use you. And sometimes it might seem like he's abusing you, but he doesn't abuse people, but he will definitely use you. Sometimes he'll use you in ways that you may not want to be used, but he will definitely use you. Right? Yeah. So that's literally the way it is. It has been with me. I don't think I'm the only one. All right. So people are giving tonight. Let me check all this stuff out. Hang on a second. And we're going to talk about things tonight as people check in and get going here. Okay. All right. Just a moment here. All right. God will use you. Sorry. I got all kinds of things. I started a little bit early tonight because I started on time, right? And people are giving right now, so I'm stopping to get that in. So give me a minute here. Okay. When God uses you, sometimes he will abuse you a bit, or it will seem, and I'm not kidding you. When you say, God, use me, you ever had somebody use you the wrong way, it seemed like? Yeah, they use you to get to somebody or to, you know, maybe get your boyfriend or get your girlfriend or back in high school, you know, say, or get you, you know, whatever. So people use people, right? And God uses people in a little bit different way because, you know, his motives are totally pure, but he still uses you. He will, in other words, every time God uses you, it doesn't mean that everybody's going to love you and everybody's going to like you and everybody's going to go, man, you're just a fine, outstanding human being. No, because what happens is the things God uses you for sometimes may stir up trouble. And I'm going to talk about that just here in a minute, I think. All right, well, let's think about this. Think about Moses. Moses was used by God. He gets a word from God, meets him on the mountain, tells him God tells him he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He doesn't know exactly what that means, you know, per se. So he goes, you know, into town, into Egypt, and meets Pharaoh for the first time and throws the rod down. You know, then the Egyptians threw their rod down, and so it didn't look like that big of a deal, except Moses' rod or Aaron's rod ate up their rod. And, you know, it just ticked him off. It just got him mad. All it did was just make him mad, make Pharaoh mad. So what did he do? He had the Egyptians who built buildings, who built, you know, all kinds of things. They built all of Egypt basically out of brick and mortar and that kind of thing. And so he had them go from having, in making bricks, the Egyptians would bring them straw. And now he says, you're going to have to make the same quota of bricks without the straw. You're going to have to gather your own straw, which was like a major deal, right? And the Bible says they went all over Egypt trying to gather straw together, and then they got whipped. So what did they do? They went to Moses. They said, man, what are you doing to us, right? Yeah, you remember that, right? Yeah, so I don't know about you. I think we probably all had that happen to us. I've had it happen to me a few times. And people are going, you know, what are you doing, man? It's just like things are getting worse than getting better. And that's the whole strategy of the enemy, is to make things look like they're getting worse sometimes. Yeah. So if you don't understand that and know that that's going to happen to you, then you're going to, you know, you're going to get messed up. You will get messed up, and you'll get mad at God. In fact, I think Moses got a little bit tippy with God when that happened. And God says, you know, so, but it happened several times. Moses got in trouble a lot with the people because, you know, he brings them out into the wilderness, and they're going like, you brought us out here. Like, they knew God did it, you know, but you brought us out here, and now we're all going to die. We've been better off than we'd have been back in Egypt. So this is just a couple of many times when, you know, God used Moses, and, you know, God knew he wasn't going to look good sometimes. God knew that, and he allowed it. And, you know, sometimes when you're a servant of God, you want to be used by God, get ready. Just get ready, because he will use you. And I mean, that's like, you know, he may have some people, they get really mad at you. And just like he used him with Pharaoh, when he told Pharaoh, let my people go, and, you know, Pharaoh said, oh, you know, I'm not gonna do it. The plagues would come, and he said, okay, I'm gonna do it. And then he would change his mind over and over and over again. You know, that's pretty amazing. So, you know, it's not always just perfect. Everybody thinks serving God is just perfect. You know, I mean, I've been doing this a while. And I've had people complain to me and try to blame me for words that I never gave. it was close, but when I went back and listened to it, and they went back and listened, they go, oh, yeah, you didn't really say that. I'm going like, yeah. You know, if I messed up, I messed up. I'll just say I messed up. That's why we document everything. I've got documentation that goes back, you know, years on, you know, text and emails and stuff. They go back years ago. People say, you said this or didn't say that. And you said I said this and I didn't say it. And I'm going like, got it right here. This is your email. You know, you said that. You sent that. This is your text. Or this is your, you know, whatever. So, you know, you find out that it's not quite as easy. And I had a prophet who had been prophesying for a long time who told me some circumstances with them where, you know, that happened. So it kind of was a warning to me. And I became, you know, a little aware of it as I went along. So it just happens, though, y'all. It just happens. It's not perfect. People think the prophetic is perfect as far as, you know, being a servant of God and everything always goes exactly the way, you know, like Joseph's dreams, you know. They didn't go anything like he thought. They didn't go anything like the dream looked like. The dream didn't show him he was going to Egypt. Right? It never said anything about Egypt as far as, you know, the outward appearance of a dream. But it very much said very much about Egypt, but in a way that they couldn't understand it. So sometimes God will give you dreams that it's a symbol or something that maybe you're not that aware of. And he shows you, you know, like with Joseph, when the second dream came and he said, you know, the sun and the moon and the stars are going to bow down to him. They bowed down to him in a dream. So the sun and the moon, his father said, we think me and your mother, he was considering himself the sun, I guess. I said, and his mother, the moon, he said, you think we're going to be bowed down to you, Joseph? And truly, that was never, she died anyway, but she'd already been dead when that all happened. Jacob never, his father never bowed down to him. Not even a little bit. In fact, if anything, Joseph bowed down to him, you know, out of honor. And so, who did basically bow to him is Pharaoh and the Egyptian people, which Pharaoh was the sun god, and the people were the moon. Yeah, right there. The people were the reflection of the sun, and that's literally what they called him in that day. They called Pharaoh, you know, the sun god. So he literally got it. God did tell him it was Egypt, but he just didn't know, wasn't aware of, I guess he wasn't aware of that, or didn't connect that. If he knew that Pharaoh was the sun god, he didn't connect it to that dream, because his father right away interpreted as him and his mother, which had nothing to do with him and his mother. Right, his mother never bowed down. In fact, she died after giving birth to Benjamin. And that was a long time before he got in Egypt. So you can see things sometimes in dreams. You know, we can misplace things or not get the full understanding of something. Now, did his brothers bow down to him? Yeah. Did the sun and the moon bow down to him? Absolutely. You know, Pharaoh said, all of Egypt is yours except for the throne. What was he doing? He was bowing down to him in that sense. He didn't, I doubt he physically bowed down to him, but he honored him. Bowing down isn't worshiping. Bowing down is honoring. You know, and a man needs to be honored. And if he's worthy of honor, that's even great. But if he's not, you might try to, you know, honor him a little bit, and even though he's not worthy of it, and see if it kicks in some stuff. Yeah, so, because when a man feels honored, he will lay his life down for you. That's what it activates. When you cause a man to honor you, especially women doing it with their husbands, when you honor a man, you know, even if he's, even though he's not worthy of it at the time, it will activate in him that thing that wants to lay down his life for you. And so that's what's missing many times in marriage and in relationship, not just in marriage, but also in, you know, teachers and coaches and men in general, you know, friends, just guys in general are made to be honored. And many of them are not worthy of it. But you know what? Once you do break through and you honor them and you do it consistently, it's like clicking on a switch inside them. I will lay my life down for you, honey, or friend, or whoever you are. And so when they said they're going to bow down to him, it wasn't worship, it was honoring. Right, so you can see that definitely happened with Pharaoh. Pharaoh definitely honored him big time. You don't give all your whole nation over to a Jew or to an outsider. You know, yeah, of course, he wasn't an outsider much. He was in prison most of the time. But, so you don't do that without heavy-duty God intervention. And so, anyway, that's really what happened. And because Joseph had gone so long without honor, you know, that God was trying to get Joseph to receive honor from the father or from his creator, from God, instead of from people. He didn't get it from his brothers, got it from his father. And I believe his mother too did honor him, you know, and then later he had the dream after he had the coat, he had the dream that, in the future they would bow down. It was a future dream. So, all right. I didn't mean to stay on that so long, but, yeah. So that's pretty cool. All right. So being chosen is kind of a different thing. Being chosen by God is dangerous. It's dangerous. For the person who has been chosen, when you're chosen, you usually know it. You don't always know it, but, you know, usually when you're chosen, you know you're chosen. You know, you just, something in you just knows it. And what does it do to you? It makes you at least look a little bit cocky, a little bit proud, even if it may not be pride yet or cockiness yet. It looks like it. You know, confidence looks like you're arrogant and cocky. And I was very confident back in high school in one thing, and that was sports. And so I think I was had an appearance of cocky and arrogance. I don't know that I was or not. I'm sure I was. But, you know, you can tell by the pictures that I was very, very confident in, because it's the only thing I could have confidence in, right? I had nothing else. So when you feel chosen, you know, it can do a number on you, because you'll start telling people that you're chosen, right? Yeah, you'll start telling people, I'm chosen. Because the way you look at it, that you're chosen, it's just like, you know, I can help you. So you think when you tell people you're chosen, you think it's saying to them, I'm going to be able to help you. And they usually go like, well, I don't really need your help, brother or sister. Oh, you think you're going to help me, huh? And so being chosen, just like Joseph, knew he was chosen, you know? So being chosen and knowing you're chosen can really create you some problems. And so it did with Joseph. You know, he knew he was chosen. His father made it known. I think God wanted to do that. But he, you know, God went out of his way. You'd think a father would be maybe smarter than that, but maybe it was just all God's will to give him, give his, one of his sons out of 12 sons, give one of them, you know, a robe of favoritism in front of all the other ones. You know, what did he think they were going to do? It's just maybe even, you know, the fact that, you know, his father, Joseph's father, Jacob, knew that Joseph was chosen. Maybe he thought all the other brothers would just see it like he did. Right? So sometimes we see things and other people don't see it. And because they don't see it, they'll just like, you know, what? You know, who do you think you are? You know, you see it for yourself, right? And you'll basically tell them one way or the other. Joseph came right out and told them, hey, brothers, I had a dream. You're all going to bow down. You're all going to honor me. I'm chosen. I'm the chosen one of the family. That's what God was saying to him, that he was the chosen one of the family. So when you get that, especially at a young age, anytime you get that would be dangerous to you. But, you know, the thing is, the same thing happened with David. I don't know if you remember when his brothers were fighting the war and Goliath was going, showing up, and David was sent by his father, Jesse, to deliver cheese, maybe some pizza to the brothers. And he shows up and, you know, Goliath comes out and David starts asking questions. Well, who is this big dog over here that thinks he's that? You know, who's this ranting, railing, you know, fool? And his brother said, okay, Mr. Arrogant, you know, pompous. You know, that's what they said to him. Why? Because David was so confident. He didn't bow down to people. He bowed down to the Lord. And when you bow down to the Lord, you start realizing that you're chosen to do something. You feel chosen. And when you do, you have confidence. And that confidence can be looked upon as arrogance and pride. And it can become arrogance and pride, for sure. But it's being chosen, friend, is not exactly as easy as everybody thinks. Once people start realizing that you have something that maybe they don't have, or maybe you have a little bit more of it than they do, you know, it creates problems. You start a war. Some people, the war is big. Some people, they really don't care that much. But with Joseph and David both, you can see the evidence that David was a very, very, very confident young man. And his own brother said, you know, go back and take care of your few sheep, boy. You're arrogant. Your pride has caused you to come out here and see the war. Father's sending to bring him cheese. That's what it was. He didn't come out to see the war. But that you can tell by the scriptures that that's exactly what. And so Joseph was the same way. And so, if you know, when you feel chosen, you know, and maybe you get prophetic words that you've been chosen, and you start drinking that in, and you start believing God for that chosenness to take you somewhere or, you know, make you something really cool, you know, you start creating, you can create enemies really quick, even though you may not be aware of it. You think, can't they see that I've been chosen? It doesn't mean that you think you're Mr. Hot Rod or Mrs. Hot Rod, right? It doesn't mean that. You know, when you know you're chosen, and even without any pride at all, even without any, not that you won't have some, but even though you don't have any, you're going to look like you're just, you know, like, who the heck do you think you are? People will, you'll draw that out of people. It'll happen. So, so you need to see that and understand that. Okay, you know, people just hardly ever see it. Maybe a small percent of people will see that you're called and chosen. And so talking about it just to a certain degree is okay, you know, because we're all chosen. The Bible says we're all chosen. So if everybody can feel chosen, but it's when that chosenness starts showing up in ways that maybe it's not with others, then it's intimidating. It's intimidating. And if people aren't able to handle it, they'll fight you. They will fight you. You know, we've all had that. So, all right. So the truth is that, you know, Joseph did look cocky and arrogant, and it did provoke his brothers. But God used, you see, in the light of God's sovereign will and his ways, the way things happen, he knows how human nature is. That's why he gave flesh, so that Paul wouldn't become arrogant with all of his knowledge. Right? That's what he did. And so, can you become arrogant? Yeah, I've been arrogant. I've had pride. I've talked about my pride before many times. And, you know, God has a way of burning it out of you. you can have the greatest whatever it is in the whole town, and God can make it a way where, you know, nobody knows it. He'll blind them from it, and nobody can seem to acknowledge it, you know. Like, he has a way of burning that out of you. He really does, and it's sometimes very painful. I've had God deal with me in very, very painful ways before, and things that he's just protecting me. He's jealous over you, so he doesn't want to lose you through your pride, right? Because he knows pride will cause you to fall. So he works with you, and that's why we see Paul, who God was extremely jealous over, I believe, because, you know, he just liked Paul's aggressiveness and the fact that he knew the law and he could use him. He was just going to walk him through the cross and bring everything, all the law, through the cross. And that's why he really liked Paul a lot. So he protected him. But he also knew that he's going to become prideful, any human being would be. Right? So God has, if you find things not working out for you quite like you think, if you have people fighting you on a consistent basis and it doesn't seem to be going away, it just might be part of it may be that he's dealing with keeping you from becoming too cocky. Yeah, or too arrogant, or too much like, you know, the brothers we've been talking about, Joseph and David. I mean, they had it big time. Doesn't mean that they were sinful in it or they were even wrong in it. It's just, you know, the confidence. So it's really hard to tell without great discernment whether the confidence has turned into pride or not, because confidence takes on an air of, you know, I got this thing, man. I got this thing. If you're giving God the glory for it, truly, truly giving God the glory for it, it'll balance you out. But if you don't, you could end up in pride for a while. But God has a way. You know, when he shows you to do something, he chooses you so that you can keep on being used. So he's going to make sure and take care of you in the light of not getting you to where you run people off too bad. I mean, I've ran a few people off, I'm sure, through some of my stuff before, and you'll do that sometimes. But God has a way of making sure that you don't become prideful, you know, so that you lose what he has chosen you for. Because being chosen is, depending on what you're being chosen for, can be whatever you're chosen for, it's all important, right? It's extremely important, whatever you're chosen for. If God chose you for something, that means he needs you in that position, right? That means he needs you in that position. So being chosen doesn't necessarily make you better than somebody else, but your position may be more in the light than others. But your chosenness means that it has, you've been called to fit in somewhere where you're needed. And it may not be showy at first. Sometimes God will give you something that may be worthy of showy at some time, but he will not let it be showy until he's worked with you through the possibility, like Paul the Apostle, of becoming arrogant. You know, he's going to work with you and break you of that before he lets everybody know how wonderful you really are in his eyes, right? How wonderful you are in his eyes, right? Yeah, because in his eyes, you are just like, man, it's awesome. But he also knows the human realm where people are, where human beings are, and where people fail, and human beings, you know, are human beings, right? So, one of the things in my life has been, that has been humbling for me, is to, you know, warn people. That's a difficult thing to do, to warn, especially if they're loved ones, to warn them of things, you know, expose things as a shepherd to keep them from, you know, continuing in that thing, whatever that thing is. And so, you know, warning people and loving people. That's what I've learned to do. Basically, in that show version, the way God does me is he has me warn people of things. And the level of warning can be at different levels. And so when God used me to warn people, he has me love them. I'm not rejecting you. I love you, but you need to quit doing it. Okay, I'm with you. Let's go do something. Let's have some fun. You know, I love you. I'm for you. I want to buy you pizza or whatever the thing is. You know, and so I'm on your side, but, you know, you got to stop doing that. And, you know, Jesus told the woman who he forgave of adultery, caught in the act, you know, he said, you know, go and sin no more. That's the worst thing. Come on. He told a couple people that. Go and sin no more. Yeah, so we have to do that sometimes. But when it's your own kinfolk, now you're stirring it up within, and that is a whole different level that you don't want to do with make sure that God is speaking to you, right? Because it is then you come home to it, so to speak. And so there you go. So you know, Jonah, you know, had to warn people. That's when God started first teaching me about warning people, was with Jonah. If Jonah had not warned them, they probably would have perished, because they were about to be overthrown. And so anyway, so Jonah's job was to walk through the city and warn them. Sometimes your job is to warn people, not threaten them. You know, I'm not talking about threatening people. I'm talking about warning people. And don't go out in that street right there at between 12 and 1 because the traffic is crazy. And if you go cut across the road, they're not paying attention to what they're doing. They're going to see if you fall or you stumble or you're slow, they might run over you. I mean, you know, you warn them, right? And so same thing. And so when God has me warn people of things, then there's a reason for that. Most of the time it's because he wants them to change. He wants them to take heed to what the Lord is saying through you, but not everybody does. So you have to deal with that, and that is a whole different world. So with me, you know, because that's my job in the future, I have a future job with this at a high level, or what I consider a high level, and high level as far as authority figures and world leaders and that kind of thing, you know, government officials and rich people. Which I've been dealing with that the last 5 years, thanks to my father-in-law, who I didn't realize was a very powerful man, you know, and I never could prove that he was a Mason, how high a level he was a Mason, or he was a Mason at all. I couldn't even prove any of that stuff because I never asked him, and Julie didn't know, you know, so, I remember she said she didn't know at least. So it could have been a high secret, I don't know. But anyway, you know, and so kind of find out, you know, the things that Mason do to people, I found out. when they want to deal with you and get you to bow, you know, they're the same things that were happening to me. I mean, exactly. It was shocking. So, you know, I got to deal with that, you know, warning people, and then the effects of warning people, telling people, you know, just stop doing that. I love you. I'm for you. I'm on your side. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not trying to, you know, tell you that you're a bad family or you're bad people. Just trying to say you got something there that, you know, and I'm here, and you get the right person because I'll let you through it. But they didn't see it like that. So it activated my father-in-law going to action, and pretty soon, you know, I had things going on with, you know, law authorities and judges, just out of the blue. And believe me, I'm clean as a whistle and have been for many, 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 many years. And pay my tax, I've got good credit, you know, all that stuff. I'm in good shape, and don't break the law unless I run a stop sign sometimes or something like that. But, I mean, that's it, you know. I haven't even had a ticket in, I don't know, years. I think I had one ticket like maybe 7 or 8 years ago, something like that, 5 years ago, speeding a little bit. Took a speed to the course and learned how to drive better. And, you know, hey, I'm back at it again. So, but I'm dealing with authority figures and law officials. And so if you knew the future that I have personally, with the Lord, and maybe some of you have the same thing. I'm going to be dealing with high-level authorities in governments, kings, princes, world leaders, financial people, market people, and high-level places with lots of money. At the time we do this, they're going to be, you know, hoarding the money quite a bit. And my job is to, you know, give them a hard time. Isn't that wonderful that I have that job? Anybody want that job with me? Come on. Hey, you're going to love it. But it's similar to what the two witnesses do. They're very powerful people. And so, but mine is much like theirs, to be honest with you. And so, you know, I've already seen some of that already. And if it wasn't for the market mantle, it probably wouldn't have shined as much as others. But having a mantle to God telling you what the market's going to do sometimes the day before it's going to happen, you know, he's going to tell you what's going to happen for the next 30 days, exactly what happens. And then sometimes he'll tell you, you know, different things that are detailed that you know that when you throw in that it has a purpose for it, design. And for me, it's designed to take down and deal with the people with money and dealing with their money. They tried to mess with me, which is what, should we go there? I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to go there tonight. It's Thursday night. So this is already happening to me. I have a way of God usually, he'll tell me to do something, right? And I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to get kicked off and, you know, come after me. I don't know it. I'm dead, you know. And, you know, go tell them I said quit doing this. I'm going, okay. I think they're going to love it. They're going to love it. I'm here to help them. They're going to really enjoy this. It's like Joseph told his brothers, right? No, they don't like it. So you tell them they don't like it. And little did I realize that my next level training course, I just enrolled in it by doing that. And so, you know, now it's I'm dealing with, you know, a judge and some city officials and people in government, police officers. I mean, you know, it goes on. The list goes on. And I'm dealing with this, right? I'm going like, what is going on? This is absolutely crazy, you know? And so God began to, you know, it was training. I signed up for training by saying, hey, you need to quit doing that, you know? And did it privately, by the way. At first it was private, and then later it became a little bit more than private. But it's because they resisted, and that's the process that God does. But anyway, so it got stirred up more and more and more, and they thought by coming against me that I would, you know, cut it, you know, back off. They thought that that's what would happen because they were sort of rattling my, you know, they started showing their authority against me and their money and all that, and they thought that I would quickly bow down. But since I'm in training, right, and the bullets aren't real, at least I don't think, you know, I'm going like, hey, yeah, this is just training. You know, not really, but I just kind of said, you know, I used to be a jackass, I think, at times, but now I'm just a donkey, right? I, when I got saved, I quit being a jackass. So now we changed the word. Now I'm just a donkey, a cute little, sweet little, wonderful donkey. And so when God tells me to do something, they just figure, you know, they're going to kick me a little bit in the tail and the rear end, and I'm going to, like, you know, they're going to get the spurs after me and I'm going to move. But instead, I just kind of like roll over on them. And go like, whoa, what's going on? You know, I just start rolling over on them. And I'm just like going, why am I doing this? I don't know what's going on. It's like Pharaoh's heart is hardened and my stubbornness kicks in. Kind of like that. Like they think that they're going to, you know, get me to stop, and I just kind of like, it just kind of stirred me up. I'm thinking, man, this might be fun. This might be fun. I didn't always think it was fun, but there's times there's something in me that loves it. I hate to say it, but I love it. And I'm made for rejection, I guess. And so it went on and on and on and on and on. And like, here I am learning not to bow, right? You're going to get me to bow. You know, not if I've heard from God. Now, if I haven't heard from God, I've bowed when I haven't heard from God. I have. I mean, man, when I don't have a word from the Lord, I bow pretty quickly, you know. The donkey in me just kind of turns into a little puppy dog. And he pet me, scratch my belly. I'm like, yeah, just give me some food. I'll be fine. But, you know, when I hear from God, that jackass that I used to be, that donkey now, just like with... It's like our prophet friend who his donkey got mad, for kicking him and that kind of thing, and said, started talking to him. The donkey started talking to him. It's called donkey talk. And so I was doing some donkey talking. And I'm sorry, literally they would ask me in more than one case, are you still going to keep, are you still going to say that, what I said? I said, absolutely. Because they kept asking me, you are going to quit saying that, right? How did they know I said it? I mean, why did they make it public? Why did they make it public when I didn't make it public? Not at first. And for a long time, it was totally, private. And so they started kicking back and, threatening me in different ways. And so, the Bible says, take it to the next level. So I did. And, they just couldn't believe. I mean, what's he doing? He's like crazy. He don't bow about nothing. He's not giving in. He's getting worse. Exactly. And that's exactly what happened. And so I just stood still, and they're kicking me, gourding me and, trying to give me the taser thing. And, I'm just like going, I didn't feel that at all. So sorry. I don't know what's going on. And just kept going on. So when I got, I'm not know that I'm through with it yet, but so it's just, when you're made for this stuff, if I wasn't made for it, I'd be crying like a baby. I'd be telling you, please send me some money. I need some help. Please. Instead, it's kind of like, I just didn't tell anybody for a long time. I didn't tell anybody. And I think they didn't like that because they wanted me to, complain about it. But I waited till the right time, hopefully. And so in training, y'all, we're talking about training. We're learning how to do, Jonah. Listen, Jonah, there's been some people in my life that God wanted me to warn. I'm thinking, well, maybe if I don't warn them because I didn't like them very well, because they were really like, they were the jackass this time. And I was, maybe a donkey, but I ain't no jackass, not anymore. And so I'm looking at them going like, you want me to warn them, huh? I think it'd be better if we just didn't warn them and you just went ahead and whatever. I don't know what you're going to do or what you got going on, but can you just go ahead and do it if I don't warn them? And God goes, I need you to warn them. I don't want to warn them. So who does that remind you of? Jonah? Yeah, Jonah. God says, I want you to go warn Nineveh. And Jonah goes, And he goes the other direction. I've never done anything quite like that. I've never been inside of a whale, by the way, or a big fish, I should say. Never been inside of one of those, at least not physically. But I've been in some pits because of it, that's for sure. And so finally he spits me out, and I'm smelling it like all the stuff I went through, I'm smelling like vomit and smelling like I've been in the gut of a whale, It was just like, I'm sweating now, spiritually speaking, and, it's like not very good. And so, finally here I go, and, I warned them, and then, I love them, and then sometimes God just, forgives them, and they get right, and I'm going like, that gum. I mean, I didn't like those people. Those people were just like some bad people, and there you had me warn them, and, and then you didn't do, you didn't overtake them, God. What's up with that? So you learn that, that the judgment, and however, whatever level of judgment God wants to bring, sometimes he may bring forgiveness, and you have to get used to that. And that's a difficult thing to do, especially when you don't like them and they're, been mean and ornery and been a real jackass, not a donkey, but a jackass. And so it's difficult to, deal with people sometimes. But you learn how to do that. If you don't learn how to do that, if you don't judge righteously and do what God says, no matter what you think, see, that's always what happens, just like Jonah. Jonah didn't like the Ninevites because no Jew liked the Ninevites. They tortured them. They tormented them. And Jonah knew that. Of course, he didn't want them to repent. He wanted them to be overtaken because if they were so mean, they were literally the meanest people, to the Jews ever. You think the people in Hamas are mean, and they are. Well, Hamas and Nineveh may be real close right now. Honestly, I didn't think about it right now. So why are we doing this tonight? I'm not sure exactly. Somebody needs this, or maybe I just need to talk about it, kind of warn you and tell you. Because this is what we're doing. We're heading toward this thing of at least I know I am, and I think y'all will be part of it one way or the other. I don't know how exactly. But we're going to be warning the nations and warning, you know, like I read the other night about Jeremiah, that Jeremiah wasn't just called to Israel. You know, I've been reading Jeremiah lately. I hate reading Jeremiah. And I'm not talking about hating reading the Word of God, but Jeremiah, I never did like reading Jeremiah. It's like, I get sadder and sadder and madder and madder. And like, why am I reading this stuff? It's just horrible. He's speaking judgment on everybody. I just don't, you know, but God needed him to go warn so that he could deal with it. So sometimes you have to warn, and you have to warn them correctly. You can't do it out of hatred or out of, you know, I hope God takes you down, you sorry sucker. You know what? You're going to go down if you don't stop doing it. You have to warn them correctly. You can't do it out of vindictiveness or out of spite or whatever, because if you do, you've ruined the whole process. Because God is wanting, ultimately God wants to bring repentance. That's why he sends you. That's exactly what happened with Jonah, exactly the opposite of what Jonah wanted, which shows you the dichotomy there. It was pretty amazing. And I've had some similar situations before. Sometime we'll talk about them maybe. Might as the names, you warn people because God needs you to warn them so that they can either say no, and then he deals with them, or he can say yes, or they can say yes, and they repent, and then he's merciful to them, which is what he wants to do. He wants to be merciful. Paul the apostle turned them over in 1 Corinthians 5, turned that boy over to Satan, who's having sex with his mother or his stepmother, however you believe it. Either one can go, because the law had both, but whichever one it was horrible, you know. when the father leaves the house, they're sitting there going, yeah, man, let's get together. You know, it's like sickening and sad. Yeah, so when you think about all that stuff, I mean, when I think about something, I go to the real living part of it. Like, I think about when the father left, what were they doing? You know, what were they thinking? What were they planning? What were they, you know? Because when you've been around, like I have, you know how stuff happens, you know. So so how pathetic that was. And yet, what did Paul do? He got very aggressive with it. He turned him over to Satan. Yeah, Satan, not the church, to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, to saving of his soul, to save him from, you know, whatever. And so this is God's whole intent, and that's a pretty extreme example of how God was. And eventually, the guy turned around, right? Which was beautiful, just like Nineveh. Nineveh's people, they were horrible. And they turned around just like that boy turned around. Who's doing it? You know, it's amazing. Now, I'm not going to dance around things. So if you think that's going to be me, if you're just for the first time, I'm not going to dance around. If you don't think it's in the Word of God, go read it for yourself. 1 Corinthians 5, it's all right there. And then 2 Corinthians, there's a lot of chat, lot of information on that. 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians. Then later he said, okay, man, he's repented. You know, forgive him now. Yeah, it's a real lesson, but most people don't want to read it because they don't want to hear that, you know, what really went on, what really goes on today. It's sickening and sad and pathetic. And so anyway, but God worked it out, man. That's the amazing part. So same thing with Nineveh. They were some horrible people. God worked it out. So that's what God's heart is to the nations of the world. He wants to bring Germany. He wants to bring Russia. He wants to bring China. You know, he wants to bring every nation to God, and that's why he told Jeremiah, which I always thought Jeremiah was just called Israel, but you read it and you find out he warned kings. He traveled and warned kings from other nations, which is what I'm going to do. I've already done it some, a little bit, a teeny weeny bit compared to what we're going to do. But this is the future for me and for PGN, so you need to get used to that. You can't handle it. It's okay. Just move on. Move on to something that's less crazy or whatever, less aggressive, because that's what we're going to have to do, and that's where it's all headed. And when the war with Israel started on my birthday, it's like, happy birthday, Chandler. Don't forget your job you got coming up. I'm going like, I haven't forgot it, Lord, but my gosh, you know, you have to wait till I'm 70. I'm very healthy and very, very happy for the most part, and very content, but, you know, hey, 70 years old, I feel like I'm 50. I had a really compliment the other day. Some lady, I thought I was 70. She said, "You are not 70. You are lying." she was smiling when she said it. She said, "Let me see it." And I've never had anybody do that. She said, "Let me see your driver's license." And I whooped that thing out there, man. And out there so she could see it good. He said, "Oh my God, you look like you're like 50." I said, "How about 49?" She said, "Something like that." I said, "How about 49?" And she said, "Yeah, that'll work." It's kind of fun. So, you know, literally, y'all, this is what we're headed to, and that's probably why we're talking about this more and more and more all the time, because birthdays, you know, when birthdays come, we turn 70, and God says, "Don't forget, it's still up, Chandler. We're get yourself ready now. Get yourself ready." Like when I used to ride bulls, you know, you had to get yourself ready for that. Back then, how I rode bulls, how I got ready for it was, other than my gloves and my spurs and all that stuff, I'd drink a couple of beers before I got on, because I didn't have much courage. I just liked to do this stuff. It was crazy. I don't know why I did it. So it's today, now when I'm preparing for this, I don't do that anymore. Right? What I prepare myself for is, you know, just, you know, remembering the word of the Lord and remembering all the times he's protected me and how jealous he's been over, you know, the calling in the life of his servants, in particular me, because I don't know about anybody else, but I've seen him protect me from things that have been amazing. And it's built my confidence the last few years with this, my father-in-law thing. It's built my confidence in God like I've ever had in my life. And that was the greatest preparation that I could have ever had. Under the most horrendous circumstances, in my opinion, that a person could deal with. I mean, you know, what are the odds? I have a message I'm going to be talking about pretty soon. What are the odds? What do you judge by? What do you bet on in your Christian life with people? If the odds are like 1,000,000 to 1, you know, even though you haven't heard from God, do you go with the odds? Do you? Most people do. Most people go with the odds. If it's 1,000,000 to 1, you're going to put your money on that. Maybe not physical money, but you're going to put your backing on that. Yeah, I know. He must have done something wrong. She must have done something wrong to get that. Because the odds of that happening, that's rare. Very, very rare. Very rare. 1,000,000,000 to 1, maybe. So the odds on that one, I'm going with 1,000,000,000 to 1. But the thing is, friend, is if it's a situation like Job and many others in the Bible, Job was one of those 1,000,000,000 to 1 things that his friends, who later you will hear about, his friends who tried to counsel him, I think really loved him, I think really knew he was a man of God, knew that the odds, they were going by the odds. And using the word of God, are y'all ready for this? I don't think anybody's ready for this, but I'm going to document it anyway. I'm going to share a little bit of it now. Maybe I may get carried away, but we'll see what happens. I'm going all over the place tonight. What would be odd? A man who has been a very righteous man, known around the globe, set at the gates of the city, and people, you know, just can't wait to get some of his wisdom. Extremely wealthy, the wealthiest man in his part of the world, and a godly, righteous man, truly godly and truly righteous, that in one day, basically, he would lose all of his children. Was it 10 or 12 of them, something like that, in one day? And then lose all your wealth in a couple of days? All of it? Millions and billions and millions of dollars? What are the odds of that, that his friends were betting on with the word of God? With the word. They were betting on the odds with the help of the word of God, which says you reap what you sow. And the odds of that being right, they put all their marbles, all their confidence in the odds. Right? I mean, who would, in the natural realm, put their odds on that? If you were counseling somebody and you were maybe a judge of a, you know, you had a guy sitting there had the odds of 1,000,000,000 to 1, though you don't really know if he did it or not, but the odds are against him, all the evidence that appears to be against him, 1,000,000 to 1, 1,000,000,000 to 1, you know what the judge is going to do? He's going to throw him in jail the rest of his life. Well, that's what his friends did. Took the evidence. The evidence was, all the evidence they had was, a whirlwind came and destroyed all of his children. His wife didn't die in it. That was a tactic of the enemy. It really was. And then Job was left with the precious wife that, you know, grieved deeply over the loss of her children, right? And then when she said, you know, why don't you just curse God and die? I think she did that because she was in on the odds thing too. Who wouldn't be? My husband, you know, what's 1,000,000,000 to 1 odds that he hadn't done something wrong you know, this is what everybody thinks. You know, what goes around comes around. Must be hiding something. She bet on the odds. She won on the billion to one odds. Gotta be, she said, why don't you just curse God and just die? He had to hear that. And I think God wanted him to hear it for a reason. And his friends, of course, told him, you know, you had to have done something wrong. Quit lying, Job. Tell the truth. Sometimes people do lie. I've had people lie. I mean, outright lie. With evidence right in front of them. The evidence. Documented evidence. Lie, right. So, I didn't really do that. So I've had both. But when you have the odds without any true evidence, the evidence is, some people think it's the scriptures that say that what goes around comes around. So how could Job not lose his, all of his family in one day and lose all of his wealth in a couple of days, whatever it was, a very short time, without thinking he does something wrong? What would be odd? 8 to 1, maybe more. But who was wrong? The odd takers were wrong. Very, very wrong. They bet on it with their life. It looked obvious. And they were wrong. And God used it in Job's life. He provoked it. God did. He so trusted Job. He says, I can give 1 billion to 1 odds on my boy that he's not going to curse me. Okay, Satan, I'm going to remove all the hedges, all the protection, because I know you haven't been able to touch him. Go do anything you want except kill him. And I'm going to put the odds on my boy. And Satan goes, no, man, 1 billion to 1, he's gonna curse you at your face when I get through with him. Right? That's what most people do. But the whole thing turned around. I've had those odds in my life. I've had things happen to me that were extremely, extremely rare, back-to-back, extremely rare, proven, documented facts that people, of course, who were lying, you know, they did a great job of forming that conversation with the 1 billion to 1 odds. And as if, you know, what else can there be? Has to have done something wrong. The odds of that are 1 billion to 1. So he's got to be lying. Right. Yeah, 1 billion to 1. But sometimes, friend, God chooses people with those odds in their life. I've had them a few times. Prophetically, I've had them many, many times. Personally, I've had them a few times. I know situations that were, the odds were against me 1 billion to 1, that it looked like I had to be the one lying. And yet, the truth is that they, when those people, I've never seen people lie so well. They did such an awesome job, man. Oh, my God, if I need to hire somebody to do, not be a lawyer, be a liar, I would hire them. They formulated some stuff that really looked good, and it, they had the odds, you know, in their favor of 1 billion to 1. And the whole time, they were absolute liars the whole time. It was amazing. And yet, people who bet on the odds went with them. And in the natural, you can't blame them. In the natural, Job's friends going with the odds, I mean, who wouldn't bet on those odds? Right? Come on. Remember when Donald Trump, you know, Biden thing, when that one guy came out, one of the prophets who said Trump was going to make it, and if I be a man of God, remember that Brother Johnson, whatever his name was, a precious man. But he said, can they all be wrong? Can all of us be wrong? They were wrong, and they will be wrong if they start doing that again. What are the odds of that? You got 1 million to 1. There weren't 1 million of them, but there was a lot. And yet one person saying the opposite, that was me. That was 1 million to 1 odds, but that was going to happen. But it happened, and I could tell you story after story after story of things that happened in my personal life, prophetically and personally, that, you know, God allowed those odds to be against you to see who you're going to trust. Because when the whole world that's coming against you one way or the other, eventually, that's exactly where I'm going, where the, not Christian people, but the world is going to be overwhelmingly in numbers going to be looking to take you down because you're exposing their sin. That was a training part of that, exposed sin, and didn't realize I did it in a high-level family. I was not aware of it. It was very hidden. And I found out that when he said he's a very powerful man, I found out it was true. I didn't have a clue. Didn't have a clue. Brother, was I wrong on that one as far as, you know, knowing that? Yeah, because, I mean, he did. He did. It was amazing. And God ordained the whole thing. It was absolutely amazing because you have to understand where I'm going in the future. He's going to be doing the same thing, confronting people, telling a nation, telling a city, telling whatever, a group of, you know, wealthy, not wealthy. I've dealt with billionaires. You heard the story about the billionaire, my multi-billionaire friend I dealt with, right, who gave me money, gave me rolls of hundreds, that a lot of it I gave away. You know, I've helped God build a church, a remodeled church in Texas over here near New Waco with a lot of it. You know, I got it. God said, give it. I give. He was just testing me, you know. And he's a multi-billionaire from another country. And one day the Lord said, I want you to expose some sin in his life. I'm going like, I said, what'd you say? He said, I want you to get on his, he gave me his private text. And I got on there and I did what God said after arguing with him for a while. God, I mean, we got some provision coming in here. You just think we can hold off on like, you know, for a couple of months? And I do it now. I'm going like, dear God, this is crazy. I you don't know it's a test when you're being tested, right? And I probably would have missed. It's the grace of God that I made, honest to God. And so I finally sent it, and, you know, got a star witness. It was crazy. And so he gets mad at the people who connected me with him, my friend who connected me with him. He goes, you know, how did you tell Chandler that I was, you know, and they all knew he was had issues. They all knew it. You know, when you have money, you get by with a lot of stuff because you got money. And they all knew that, too. And they talked about it with me later. And so he said, no, we didn't tell him anything. So where did he get that information? I don't know. Nobody knew. And I said, well, God told me. And I gave him a message that was, you know, he was doing some people wrong financially. And he'd get it right. Because if he didn't, he was going to mess up his purpose for his life. And he didn't get it right. And it did mess up his purpose for his life. I'll tell that story later, but it was a big thing, a national thing. And so, you know, so that was, I didn't know it at the time, right, but that's, I was being prepared for dealing with multi-billionaires, now dealing with people in high level of authority in Texas, judges, police, detectives, all the whole thing, groups of people that literally, you know, come in and do things. And, you know, it's amazing, you know. And so if I would have known more, I would have known that, because I know where I'm going, and I even knew that I'm going to be dealing with people financial, with money, rich people, and people with high levels of authority. They get drunk with that, and they do crazy things. And so I knew I was going to be dealing with that, right? So I'm going like, dear God. Wow, now I look back now, I'm going, that 5 years that went on with my problem, like, that was the best training yet. I mean, that's like high-level training there. Woo! Wow. I wasn't sure I was going to make it sometimes, but, you know, the whole test was would I bow, and by the grace of God, the donkey in me just, I got a big donkey attitude when God wants me to have it. It's big. It's really big. They just start kicking me and giggling me and start threatening me, and I just sit down on them. If they don't, not careful, I'm allowed to roll over on them. You know, like a donkey will do. And, so they're calling you a jackass, but really you're just a donkey. But it's amazing. So it's really cool, man. I mean, so this is where we're going, and that's why we're talking about this tonight, about warning people and why you warn them so that God can deal with them. Deal with them and bring them to repentance is what he wants. But also, if they keep resisting, which my family did, not my blood, but my in-law, they just kept, you know, building up the resistance. And you know, I'm talking about building it up, like, major-wise. And so, you know, I moved to the next level, too. They moved a level. You know, God says, move to the next level, Chandler. I didn't know I was being trained. At the time, it was difficult, but I did it without reservation at all, without any reservation. And that shocked them. They're going like, like he has no sense. Is he crazy? He has no fear of any man. I mean, that fear doesn't seem to be fearing anybody. Like, we have literally threatened him with things that we could take you down in a minute, put you in, you know, and he just like acts like he don't give a rip. And basically, sort of, it's exactly what it was. And so when I, you know, came through that part of it the last 5 years or so, you know, literally, you know, it's just been, you know, amazing, the grace of God. And then all the financial stuff we went through with the gold and silver, it was a really big thing. Thank God my brain thing was working. My brain experiment was helping my brain think better. It's not perfect by any means. But, man, it helped me. I think it really helped me to go through some of that stuff, especially the last, you know, the last several months. So, and then my birthday happens in 70, and then Israel. And so that was like, you know, hey, you just finished training. Not that it's through, you know, you probably should get more training, but the major portion of your training, you have graduated now. Happy birthday. You get ready to go because, you know, I don't know, have a date or a time, but, you know, it would be coming and going, be gallivanting around, you know, as God leads. That's what's happening, y'all. And y'all are part of it. You know, if you want to be, you know, hopefully if you hear from God about it, you'll continue to be a part as God guides. But we're here, and we're going to deal with some heavy-duty, high-level things. I'm talking at the top. The top. And we're going to deal with that. I've dealt with it a little bit, a teeny-weeny bit, locally, in our government of Texas in different ways. And, like, both times my vehicles were stolen, the times where I think were the work they were work that they were doing, because that old van, nobody wants that old van. That's an old van. I drove it. I use it to haul stuff in, you know. Nobody wants to steal that, but because I drove it all the time and they watched me, you know, one day they just stole it out of the blue. And, you know, so down the street, you know, a block and a half away, literally, you know, from my house. And then when my truck got stolen, you know, a few days, oh, yeah, we got your truck back. There was nothing wrong with it. They hardly used any gas. No, they were just, I don't know what they were doing exactly. If I have no proof of any of them, you know, that one of their guys did it. But anyway, my truck came back. It was fine. Not a scratch on it. Didn't use hardly any gas. It's dirty. Nothing wrong. My passport was stolen, was taken. And that's about it, maybe. No, I think anything else taken, but, you know, I mean, it was weird. It just shows up out of the blue. You know, I had to go pay $300 to get out of there because my insurance was $1,000 deductible, or $500, $1,000, I think. I can't remember. So I paid for it. You know, I paid for it. The ministry paid for it, actually, because the ministry truck. But, yeah, so I think it's the act of the police have been doing things lately, you know, again, different things. And then my truck goes missing again, and then it comes back again, and, like, what are they looking for? What's the purpose of all that? But when you see it the way I see it, it's exciting. It's God's calling and God's purpose, God's training. And he's showing me, you know, just keep doing. You're doing fine. You're doing pretty good, actually. You know, you barely making it and need me the whole time, but that's the way I want it. So good job, Chandler. You're becoming weak, and I'm becoming stronger through you. That's the way I like it. So that's the way it is, y'all. All right. I can't believe I'm just jockeying and talking here tonight. But hopefully you learn a little bit if you need to hear this stuff tonight. Yeah. So it's 10:11. We're going to stop and take communion. Let's do that tonight. We talked about the million to one a little bit tonight. Yeah, here's another meaning to one thing I'm thinking about. What's the odds that, you know, I go to Israel for the first time ever in my life. I was there for a week, stayed with that, you know, a man of God's apartments there with another man of God, one of his under pastors, that pastored for him, one of his Dallas offices. And I was there with him. And so we were going to go up to Lebanon to have a meeting with some leaders, some pastors that this worldwide ministry that I was, you know, with. I didn't work for them, and they had nothing to do with them, but I just happened to be there at their place, and they invited me to come. And so I was going to go with them, right? So they had cars to pick us up. What's the odds of, you know, somebody picking me up by myself in a car to take me to Lebanon, and the other people were in front of us, and they led the way. And I get in a car with a guy that I've never seen in my life, never, ever in my life, never, you know, he was, I didn't know what he was, who he was, anything. I didn't talk much. I'm thinking I'm in Israel. What's going on? And what's the odds of him saying to me, well, brother, why don't you want to pray? And I go, yeah. Why didn't I come up with that? You know, I'm supposed to be the man of God, right? He found out he just got saved. He's a Palestinian. He just got born again. Hey, brother, you want to pray? I said, yeah. But what are the odds that the tongue that I chose to pray in, I didn't choose to pray, it just comes out of me, just happened to be in his mother language. Just happened to be in his mother language. Mother language. What's the odds of that? 1,000,000 to 1? 1,000 to 1? I don't know. And I got to hear, I said, what did I say? And what did I say in here? He said, you're talking perfect Hebrew. I'm going, really? What did I say? And he told me what I said. He said, you were praying something like Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father. I went, man, can't think of a higher level of prayer than that. My God, it's amazing. So what are the odds of that? I mean, what are the odds of that? You know, Israel, all the way across the world, just happened to get in the car with a guy whose mother language is Hebrew. I didn't even know he was. I thought, you know, if I'd have known he was a Palestinian, I thought Palestinians had Palestinian language, not Hebrew. Hebrew was his main language. You know, I don't know anything about him. And what's the odds of that? It's pretty high level, I would think. Yeah. So I've decided that I'm not going to go with the odds anymore. I'm going to go by the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go by the, you know, one in a million and placing all my, you know, belief in that. I decided that I'm, with my own personal life that I live in, many of you have the same thing. You have a lot of million and one things that have happened to you properly. So, you know, just learning to not live in that realm of going by the odds and decide that, you know, I'm going to follow Jesus. And when I judge somebody or judge something, if God has me judging it and dealing with it, I'm going to deal with it not by the odds, right, which can be considered sometimes. But if you go by them wholly and completely, you could ruin somebody's life, right? Oh, wait, there you go. All right, let's get ready to take communion. I want to do that right now. Thanks for being with us. People are sending in offerings. Let me stop for a minute and take care of business just for a moment. I'll be right back. If you want to get your communion ready, we're going to take communion tonight. We'll take communion on something. We'll try to find out what that is, but I'll be right back. All right, everybody, thank you for being with us tonight. And we are at it tonight. So thank you for giving. Thanks for being a part of PGN. And thank you for being a part of the future of PGN, where we're going. I don't know how exactly everybody's going to be involved in it. We're going to take communion tonight toward our purpose. We've been scratching the surface as far as where we're going, and it just keeps on getting, I keep getting more signs, as you guys know, and warnings that it's get ready, and all that training that I've been giving is for the purpose of this. When you're ready, you pass somehow by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God I guarantee you that, but I did pass them, and the confidence that I have that the donkey in me, when he kept the Holy Ghost on him, is pretty valuable, I think. Like, I never dreamed the donkey in me would be valuable, you know. So it's become extremely valuable. it sure kept me during some stuff. I can tell you that for sure. People thought I'd bow, and because I had a word from God, you know, it's just the opposite. So very interesting how that works, by the way. Just so God, if you want to kick that in, you know what to do. Just tell somebody to do the opposite of what you told me to do, like you know, the donkey in me just like starts talking and going the opposite of what they want you to do, like, you know. Yeah. All right, let's get ready to take communion tonight. If you'd like to do that with us, hopefully God will allow you. We believe that you need to examine yourself to make sure that if you have sin in your life, that you want to get free of that sin. If you want to get free of it, you desire to get free of it, then we take communion because you want to get free of it, right? If you're sincere about that. If you're not sincere, if you like doing what you're doing and you don't care, I wouldn't take communion. I wouldn't do it, especially if you're talking bad about people and haven't gotten right with people and you just kind of like trying to ignore the voice of God and getting right with people that you need to get right with. I wouldn't take communion unless you want to get right with them and get right with God with them. Then take communion to ask God to help you do it. Sometimes it takes a lot of courage to get right God's way. And most people don't do it God's way. That's why their sin keeps hanging on them. And they go in circles all their life for the most part. Because you have to get with God, God's way, not your own, right? It's taken me a long time to learn about that, much less do it. All right, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. We are not on video tonight, right? So we're not doing the Little Bit Orthodox tonight. Setting up the studio every time is a really big deal. So I have to set it up and then tear it down. It's cables everywhere, camera servers. It's fun with us on, but so let's pray that somehow or another we get that fixed or we can fix it, get it set up, and never have to set it up again. All right, so thank you for that. Pray for that during communion. Also, we have our app back. Oh, my gosh. They because our app wasn't under business, it was under personal, they disengaged it from being able to, some people, you could still use it if you had it already, but nobody could download it. And now it is back on again. I just got the approval today, or yesterday, yeah, today. Yeah, I just got the approval on today, and I checked it out. Sure enough, you go to the app store. If you want to get the app, the PGN app, it's a little red and blue thing with PGN in the middle of it. You have to search for it by my name. Because there's other PGN things, you know, like, so do it, search for it in the app store or whatever store you have on your phone. Search for it under Randy Chandler, and you'll find it really easy. All right? So we do have the app store that just got, I've had the app for years, as you guys know, but they disengaged it because it was, I don't even know how I got it under personal, you know, because the ministry paid for it. But it was, they said it was, so I had to change it, and now, and it got all messed in. They just kept not being able to get it on for some reason, one reason or the other. Now it is. Hallelujah. There you go, y'all. So we'll take communion in celebration of that. And if you have something you need to get right with God, and you've had a hard time doing that, maybe you don't think you need to do it God's way, and maybe you don't know what God's way is in that situation, let's ask him so that you can get it right. A lot of people have a lot of things hanging on them that they think they've gotten rid of, and I've told you my story about that. And then, you know, if you don't deal with it God's way, friend, it's still hanging on you. And you can think you've taken care of it just like I did. But we want to see us people, God's people, get free of a lot of burdens we get used to carrying, and we don't even know we're carrying it. All right. Thank you, Lord. Paul the Apostle says, 1 Corinthians 11, 23, I've received from the Lord confirmation that communion is for today. And I also deliver it to you, the way I get it from the Lord, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This eat, friend. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your precious body. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Let's drink it. Amen. Amen. Wow. Lord, we thank you tonight that if I have anything in my life, God, that I think I've gotten right with you, but I didn't do it your way, I ask you to show me. Anyone listening tonight? Anything they think they've done? They think they've got it right. Maybe they did it man's way instead of God's way. That they will have their eyes open. And they will get it right. Maybe they go get right with the person that they did that thing to. They know you did it to them. You know they did it. They know, you know, you did it. And so if they know it, they don't know you've gotten right with God unless you got it right with them. And so that's sometimes our getting right with God has to do with people that we have offended and said or done things to or not done things for. Right? God will show you and that you will get that right. And, you know, it's difficult. We have to humble ourselves. Our pride doesn't like us to do it. My pride hates it when I do stuff like that. I have to humble myself. It takes the grace of God. All right? Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Lord, for that tonight. We just speak cleansing over people tonight. Open our eyes to show us, God, those things that we need to get right with you that we think we have. Maybe we just haven't. Not that we didn't mean to. Not for purposeful sin. It's, you know, one of those things. So thank you, Jesus. God, help us to be cleansed and pure so we can receive the full measure of the blessing that you have in our life. We want the full measure, God. We don't want half. We don't want, you know, we don't want just 30, 60. We want a whole thing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. Awesome. All right. If you want to give tonight, you can do that. I keep getting to tell people about it. You want to give tonight. We'd love for you to do that. You can go to our app. We now have an app on, again, we've had it for years, but you can go on the app store on the Apple app store or on your other phone, where you call those other phones. You can go on the Android or the Apple phone, and you can go to the Apple app store on your phone, and search for Randy Chandler, the app for Randy Chandler, and you'll see a little, got a red ring around it, like a thick ring around it with PGN, kind of a bluish background with red PGN written on it, Prophetic Grace Network. And you can download it on your phone, and you can listen to the show. We've upgraded it. We're still working on that, but it's different than it was before. But hopefully we're getting a little better at it. But you can do that now. So you can give on there. You can go to this little heart thing that shows up. And you click on the heart, and that will allow you to give if you want to give through the app. Also, you can give through the Cash App. You know, you guys know about the Cash App, little green thing, Cash App. You can give through Venmo and also give through Wells Fargo, all through the phone number at 214-505-8719. 214-505-8719. All right, Venmo, Cash App, or Wells Fargo. And also, yeah, that's through the banking system, you know, not Wells Fargo. I said Wells Fargo. What I meant was Zelle. Sorry about that. I think I said Wells Fargo because I'm looking at the Wells Fargo. You go through Zelle. Several people gave through Zelle this week. A few people did through Zelle in the banking system. And it's free. I mean, it doesn't take anything out of the offering. We get everything when you do it through that. And you do that through the phone number if you like doing that. All right. So there you go. And all right. I think that's it. Now we're going to pray over offerings tonight and start praying over offerings for the next little bit. And cool. Hope you got something out of the word tonight. I just started sharing from my heart, and I gave you some scriptures. But a lot of it was just things that other prophets have done, prophets that we're very familiar with, and things that they have done, and things that God's having me do, and some things God's having you guys do, too. You know, you're doing the same thing. Some of you are very much a part of it. thank God for that. All right. So if you want to give one more time, go to Zelle, to the banking system, and go to Cash App, and go to Venmo, all with the phone number, 214-505-8719. 214-505-8719. All right, do that and give through the app. You can download the app on your phone right now if you want to. Search for Randy Chandler on the App Store, and you'll see a little PGN app, red ring around it, with kind of a bluish inside of it. It's bluish with PGN in red letters. And download on your phone. You can give through that, or you can listen to this or watch. I think it's all set up on there. I have been trying to get Zoom thing going, and that hasn't worked real well with Blog Talk, so I'm dancing around that a little bit right now. And I'm going to use it for testimonies, by the way. So, I'm excited about that. That's one reason we got it. And we may start using it more, but once I learn how to get a little help with connecting all that together. All right, everybody, thank you very much. All right, so let's pray over offerings tonight. If you haven't given yet, you can welcome to do that. We would love to have it, love to pray over it. We pray over people. Everybody on Wednesday night gets prayed over. So if you are able to give, or you can give somewhere else, but you'd like prayer, we would love to pray for you. Called in on Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday we pray over every person. Every person gets prayed for on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. We start. I teach for a little bit, maybe 30 minutes to an hour. And then from then on, we prophesy. We don't talk to a bunch of people. We don't go back and forth. I take one caller, I get their name, prophesy over them, go to the next caller. Next. And pretty soon we got like from 20 to 40 people we prophesy over on Wednesdays. And all I need is your name and what state you're from, and that's all. And if you're brand new, sure, you can handle that. If you can't, you can say, I'm miscellaneous. I'm anonymous. You can be anonymous. And miscellaneous if you want to be miscellaneous. Yeah, all right. Okay, there you go. So if you don't give tonight, say, well, does he not pray for anybody, people that just give? We pray for everybody. That's what we're known for. And we love doing it. We'll prophesy over you on Wednesday nights. And sometimes on Mondays and Tuesdays, too. All right, Andrea, $5. My friend Andrea. She's the same, Lord. I thank you for her friendship with you, God, that love realm and that friendship realm that she has with you. Jesus, I thank you for renewing that and refreshing that in a brand new way where she will realize and understand and acknowledge that her friendship with you is being refreshed, you know, at a new level, and that we're not only serving you as the sovereign God, Lord God Jehovah, and the Almighty, and everything else that you are, but we're also your friend. And Moses was your friend. Other people were your friend. We thank you, Lord, that Andrea is your friend, God, and that you teach her more and more about how to be a higher-level friend, where you can trust her with anything, like you did with Joseph. Joseph was your friend. Moses was your friend. Moses would argue with you, fight you a little bit. He did a good job. 99% of the time. He did a great job. So I thank you, Lord, for Andrea. God, that friendship, what friendship does with God, it changes your relationship in that when you have a problem with something or an issue, you can go to his house, so to speak, anytime. Talk to him, right? You don't have to have an appointment. You can have a divine appointment, but you don't have to have an appointment. You just show up, you just start talking, and he's able to communicate with them, and that she will see that, Father, and let that be a deeper level part of her life as never before, in the intercessory part of her life, God, to do like Abraham did, and you know, say, hey, God, well, okay, well, what if there's 10. How about 5? Will you still judge it? The friends of God talk to God like that. All right. Okay, Greg, $10. Thank you, Lord, for my brother Greg. In Jesus' name, Arizona. I think he's still in Arizona. Thank you, Lord, for Greg. Lord, we thank you for the heart surgery you've done on him, God, to do heart surgery to prepare his heart and make his heart stronger the parts where his heart has been broken, where he has been maybe condemned himself for things he wished he would have done better, would have prayed more, done more, whatever the thing is that the devil condemned him for. That, the Holy Spirit can convict us of that too, but it's a whole different thing. So the spirit of condemnation, being broken off, God, and repairing his heart, making it stronger, like you have a broken bone, and when that bone gets healed, it becomes stronger, and it never breaks there again, more likely, because it's stronger than it was before, right? That your heart would be stronger than ever, more blessed than ever, knowing that God is with you more than ever, and you're, it's going to be much, much, much harder to destroy anything in your heart, as God is, He has mended, he's mending those areas and making them much, much stronger. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Daryl, Paul, $10.13. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, Jesus, for Daryl. We thank you, Lord, for the all the things he goes through, the frustrations that he goes through, that he'll understand what frustrations. God will use frustration to show us, you know, the things that he's frustrated about, either with other people or even with us sometimes. You know, we can grieve the Holy Spirit through little things, through big things, all kinds of things. And so the grieving, the frustration that we feel sometimes that he will be able to, you know, understand that you're not, you know, unrighteously judging him or saying, you know, you need to quit drinking so much water before you go to bed. I'm just making up stuff, because you don't get as much rest, so I need to rest. Whatever the thing would be that he would be corrected, that it's, to allow you to receive more and absorb more from God. Right, so he's dealing with things that frustrate you. Maybe it's something other people do that frustrates you, and God's showing you how to handle that and deal with that, so that the frustration won't mess with you and stop you from absorbing more of God. Right, where you'll walk away grieved from something, you learn how to deal with the grief. If it's their fault, you deal with the grief one way. If it's your fault, you deal with grief a little bit different way. And so you learn how to deal with things, and the more we do that, the less trouble we have with absorbing, you know, the love of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, getting wisdom and scriptures from God, revelation from heaven. Yeah, so God, give him that revelation from heaven and let it soothe his thoughts, cause his peace to go to a level where it's very hard to disturb his peace. Amen, in Jesus' name, Paul, thank you. All right, Sally from UK, London, $15. Thank you, Sally. We've been talking about the queen when the queen died recently. I don't know if you've been a listener or not, but thank you, Jesus, for that. I remember all that stuff you shared with me about that, how it changed my whole thought process. Thank God. God used you to inform me about Billy Graham and the queen. I was not aware of any of that. Some people are so judgmental on leaders that if you're not careful who you listen to, that can affect you, you know. So I'm so thankful that you were bold and kind and generous with your friendship and letting me know that, you know, here's what's, you know, really going on. Man, that was such a blessing to me. I don't know if I ever told you that, but I want to thank you personally and publicly for just loving me as a friend. We've never met before. We've talked on the phone a few times during PGN show years ago, but yeah, because I used to get up like at 2 or 3 in the morning. Maybe, I don't know what time it was, early morning. And we'd get on the phone. It was awesome. I loved it. Doing shows with you on there, I loved it. So, yeah, so thank God for that. And, you know, God, I thank you for showing her all the time that you use her to do things. And her love for God and God's people and her love to help and help people understand things correctly, that they get the truth about things. That like the Holy Spirit, he leads us and guides us into all truth. You know, he leads us and guides, doesn't push and shove, right? Doesn't cram it down our throat. Like you led and you guided me into that. It was beautiful when the Holy Spirit used you. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that and thank you for that publicly. And while the Holy Spirit's having me do that right now, I don't know. It's just pretty cool. So thank you, Lord, for your servant, God, and show her what a servant that she is and what love she has for the truth, and for people to know the truth and to be free, to be truly free. Because if you don't have the real truth, right, you can get in bondage. So real truth helps set you free, even if it's about the queen. You know, I wasn't down on the queen at all, but But people, when we talk about the Antichrist coming out of Europe and, you know, all that, and her being kind of the head of that, and even the king, that people automatically think you're trying to say the bad people. And I have, because I think you understand I wasn't saying that as much as, you know, the Rothschilds, you know, help a lot of people, help a lot of people, a whole lot of people. They're, you know, they're like doing their own good things around the globe, but it's going to be used for evil eventually. And so, anyway, when we talk about that, it's difficult to talk about that stuff without people feeling like you're, you know, somehow even condemning the Rothschilds, which I'm not, you know, at all. Just saying what the Bible says about it. Knowing that everyday wonderful people who have a lot of money and have a lot of control and power over things, you know, can do great things and yet be used of the enemy at the same time, just like any of us. So anyway, all right, thank you, Lord, for that, for Sally, in Jesus' name, and reveal to her how she serves you, and she doesn't even know it, how powerful it is. Amen. All right, Jeannie, $20 from Texas. Thank you, Jeannie, for your love for God, for your desire to have truth and to stand up for what truth is, to stand up for people, you know, and make sure that the truth gets out of the Word of God, and your stance on what you believe God says in His Word. You know, God loves that. And the stance that you make on things when you know God's speaking to you. And, you know, then we learn how to stand with people just because they're people. They may be wrong people, but we learn to stand with them even when they're wrong. Like, God had me do that with Pastor Jerry for 10 years. He was, for the most part, he was a very smart guy, a very good guy, but one of the best guys I ever know. But he wasn't perfect, right? And, I mean, I had, for years, I never said anything about him at all. Until I got out and I, you know, little by little, just, you know, not to shame him, but he had some belief systems that I was totally against, but nobody ever knew it. And I might have told Julie what he believed, but I never, you know, I didn't talk about it. Maybe to her, just talking to had somebody talk about it, right? So, you know, but that, you know, God had me honor him and, you know, and stand with him. In spite of, you know, things, and that's what we did. We stand with people, and thank you for doing that. Thank you for standing with people that you don't always agree on the thing, and you stay with them. You're faithful to God, what God says, and God loves that about you, and so do I. That's awesome. All right. Paulette just gave $10. Let's get Paulette in there. Thank you, Paulette. All right, Paulette, $10. Thank you, Lord, for Paulette. God, I thank you, Lord, for, you know, giving her a new release of encouragement, a new release, a new dose of the Holy Ghost. You know, if she can't take it all, God, I'll take some of that. Yeah, for sure. And bless her, Jesus, and cause her to know that how much you love her, Lord, how much you care about her, how much you care about what she cares about, that many times you give her the care that she has for other people. And even when she gets upset with people, sometimes you're upset with them, let her know that sometimes that's her heart feeling what you feel, knowing what you know, so she can pray and intercede. Because when I'm asking forgiveness for being upset with people, I don't even know. I'm going, why am I upset with people? I don't even know. Because, the only thing it could be is that God is upset with them. He wants me to pray and intercede over them, right? Yeah. So sometimes we feel frustration and anger and, you know, upset with somebody. Don't even really know, understand why. Sometimes we do. But even then, God can use us to, you know, that's how God feels. God gets angry, gets upset. He gets grieved, you know. He definitely has unforgiveness. He does. He got unforgiveness. If you do the wrong thing, you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you won't be forgiven of that. That's unforgiveness up there. And if you don't forgive your brother, anyway. So, but God does sometimes not forgive people for things until they do it right. So we have to deal with that. And God's showing you more and more, Paulette, that a lot of times, not all the time, of course, that I feel is God, but, you know, many times it is, and God's showing you the difference between how to intercede and pray so he can bless you and reward you for your service to him, you know, helping him out. He needs people to come to the reason the Bible says two or more come in agreement is he needs us to agree with him. That's the biggest thing in the kingdom is getting an agreement with God. I mean, truly getting an agreement with God. And that's the reason he needs, because the Bible says for two or more agree. And that's in earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. So he needs an earthly agreement. So he does need us. You know, God don't need nobody. Yeah, he may get rid of you if you don't, you know, able to do anything right, and he knows you're never going to do anything right, he may get, you know, take you out. But he's going to have to get somebody else. He's going to have to get somebody else, you know. So that's the way it is. God created the earth, gave man dominion, and he works with men. Sometimes in spite of us. All right, Regina, $20. Thank you, Regina, for that 20. Thank you, Lord, for that. God, I see, you know, the glory of God on your face. I see, you know, health coming to you. And peace coming to you, and peace bringing health to you, peace bringing health to your, you know, sometimes when we get over concerned about things, we get anxiety and stress. I know I did. And the peace of God comes in and unlocks that and releases that bad energy, that anxiety, that stress. You know, we all have stress. Everybody, Jesus had stress, but it's how we work through it, right? And God giving you a whole other level of understanding how to work through things. Because if we don't work through things, we end up with that energy staying in us. Because if we process something through God's way, the energy, yeah, we feel it, but it goes through us and goes out. We don't stay angry. We don't live in anger. You know, we don't live in frustration. We don't live grief. We let the grief go through us. Yes, we do. But we let it pass on by. Pass on by. Let it pass on by. Let it pass on by. In other words, how we process things is extremely important, because the process means we get it, we get frustrated, we're just like God. Jesus got angry, he got whipped, but he dealt with it, he got through it, came out on the other side of it, and therefore, that's what God's looking for. Instead of getting stuck and ending up with that energy messing with us every day, causing distraction, and causing us to lose our peace. Because if something stays in us, if it doesn't process through correctly, it stays in us, then it starts creating, it deals with our nerves, because our nerves start, even though at first they don't shake much, but our nerves start feeling pressure, and the more we don't let things process through correctly, it stays in there, and then maybe half of it stays in there, maybe all of it stays in there, and it's like building up, pretty soon we feel like we're getting the tremors, like, what's going on here? And so that getting all the energy out, that false energy, I call it false energy, anxiety, stress, and, you know, worry. And things, you know, sometimes I worry about things. And God has to, you know, help me process that worry through into faith. And he does. So it doesn't stay on you. Amen. That way you enter into peace. I see your face just your countenance with the glory of God on it. Amen. In Jesus' name. All right, Sandra and Robert, $25. Thank you, Lord, for Sandra and Robert. I want to thank you for Robert tonight, God. Thank you for his appetite for you, God, that you will increase his appetite for the Word. I think he's got a 30-fold appetite for the Word. Give him a 60-fold or 100-fold. God does that with me. Sometimes I go through times where, you know, I always listen to the Word, but sometimes I get really hungry for the Word. Like out of the blue, I get really hungry. What's going on, God? I'm so hungry for the Word. I got to have the Word. Oh my God. It says he's trying to impart something to me. So he increases my hunger for the Word so that I'll get in there and dig through and start being curious. And pretty soon, oh, my God, I've never seen that before. Yeah, so, Lord, I think for that in his life, God, that you will at times give him a deeper hunger, just an itching. I got to have some Word. I got to get some Word in me. And because the purpose of that is because God's trying to get something in you new at a new level. So he, you know, takes us and gets us out of our daily routine, which is good to have, to, you know, a little extra, because we have this, you know, drive for the Word all of a sudden. Thank you for that with him, God, and Jesus, for Sandra, Father. Thank you for Sandra, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the spirit of knowledge, the gifts, the gifts of the word of knowledge flowing through her, God, that knowledge that is not known, things not known to us because of human relationship or human knowledge, but it is given to us by God. Lord, I thank you for unlocking that in a new fashion, in a new way, where she will, because many times I think flowing the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge from the Holy Spirit, Father, and maybe not aware of it. You know, I'm aware of it some, but I don't think I have, I have a gift of the word of knowledge flowing, and I just think I'm just kind of like, oh yeah, I know something, but I don't realize, you know, it's a gift. And that's the way it should be, right? It shouldn't be like you feel you know, a vibration coming on you, and, oh, I'm getting the word of knowledge. It should be just, you know, everyday flowy stuff, you know, where it's just like, you know, you just went through 10 hours of information here and there, and three quarters of it was gifts and word of knowledge, and we didn't know it, but it was just passing through us. All right, so I thank you, Lord, for that, and flowing in that, in Jesus' name, show how to walk in that, in your glory, in Jesus' name, and show her that the victory is hers in Christ Jesus. Amen, that all things are working together for good. Even when the devil tries to trip us up, that you work that out for our good, or he ends up getting tripped up, what's happened with Jesus. Jesus, God let Jesus be tripped up, so to speak, so that he could trip the devil forever. Sometimes God will allow us to be tripped up in our innocence of something, then the innocence of it causes him to be guilty, and therefore he's able to deal with them. The strategy God uses, it's an amazing strategy. Wow. All right, Nicole, 2777-2777-2777. I can't quit saying that. 2777. It ought to be a song. Come on, let's get along. Oh, 2777-2777. Yeah, thank you for the seventh, God. Thank you for the seventh. Thank you for the heavens. Thank you for the revelation of the heavens. What's going on? Something go. Okay, I feel it. Oh, my God, there he is. I feel something stirring in the head, right now in my hand. If I was on video tonight, you can see my hand being, got my hand lifted up, and I'm like going around, and you know, like a wave, like around the circle, like a wave, like something's being stirred up in the heaven. Something's getting ready to happen in the heaven. Something's happening in the heaven. 777, something's happening in the heaven. Two makes it happen. Two makes it happen. What's two? Okay, agreement. I come in agreement with the 777 going on in the heavens. Come in agreement with the 777 that's going on in the heavens. The stirring, the whirling. Hallelujah. Download that. Downloads, like God downs, he stirs the heavens and then he downloads information. You know, like I've been waiting for God, honestly. I think you shared with me, you know, went out on the show, we were talking on the show or something, and we were talking about John the Revelator, and he had the information given to him about the wind. What was that? The seven winds. My mind went blank on it, but you know, and then he couldn't write it down. God would lay mine down. It's like I'm sensing, you know, something about that. Let me look that up real quick. Maybe that's why God blanked my mind, so I would try to quote it and look it up. Seven thunders. Oh, seven thunders. Okay, he was like, let me get this. He was saying seven thunders. Okay, you're at seven thunders. You take it to the scripture. Seven thunders. All right, hang on a minute. I'm going to get this. It's 700, right? Yeah. 10. Okay. 700. Okay. 10, 1, 2, 7. 1. Seven, about 8 coming out from heaven. Sorry, I had my phone on the side. The seven thunders. Revelations 10. This is with two witnesses. That's Revelation 11. Okay. We get it right here. I saw still another angel, mighty angel, coming down from heaven, clothed with cloud. The rainbow in his head. Sun and star filling his head. When the lion roared, he cried out. Seven thunders uttered their voices. Okay, seven thunders uttered their voices. Verse 2. He called out, voice. Seven thunders uttered their voices. Verse 3. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write when I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. Wow. So, you know, that's what I kept, I was recording my hand around, you know, while I was praying over you. What is that? 2777, like something going on in heaven. And then I got that thing. Maybe God's getting ready to reveal that, or I'm not sure what that is. But something about the seven thunders, which nobody knows, as far as we know. That I know of, and that seven thunders, God is uttering their voices, that we're going to be able to say what they are. Wow, awesome. Something about that. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's just God is documenting timing right now for some reason. Documenting timing. 10. Ooh, it's 10. It was October when it was 10, October. September. What is today? 11. Y'all give me a minute here. I'm revelating. Revelating. 11:9. We're in the month of 11. Revelations 11. Okay. We're in the month of 11. There you go. Revelations 11. And it's 11:03 right now. Now look at that. I just have to look at my microwave over here at the time on it. And it's 11:03. And I was just reading. I went from Revelation 10 to Revelation 11 and asking God to show me, you know, 11:777. Come on, 11. Show your face. And then I was going to say 11:03. So something's happening with this right now. We're going to document some timing here. 11:03, 11:04, then 11. That is for the two witnesses. This is the chapter where the two witnesses, the angel stood saying, measuring the temple, the altar, leave out the court. Gentiles, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and two lampstands, standing before the God of earth, and if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth. Wow, and devours their enemies. If anyone wants to harm them, they must be killed in that manner. Whoa. Gosh, so they're going to be killing people with the fire if they try to stop them. Wow, that's some heavy-duty protection, I'd say. Anyway, I don't know what the call with that is exactly, but it's everything, but it's about timing. Everything about timing, the timing that we're in, the time that we're in, like the time right now, you know, the birthday thing, you know, 10-7 when war was declared through the slaughter of something that was, that, you know, what are the, one of the million that my birthday, that would be my birthday, one of them, no, one of the million. And so we're all connected to all this in PGN, so we're in the month of 11, and I went to Revelations 11, and it's 11 o'clock. So timing. So maybe this is on its way. The two witnesses thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, something like that. Anyway, there you go. I gotta fly. Ooh, there you go. I didn't even realize what I was saying. Gonna fly. One way or the other, gonna fly, right? Yes. Amen. All right. Okay. Get back to the print of offerings here. 2777. Okay. Cynthia, $30. Thank you, Cynthia. For $30. Okay. I haven't heard from you in a while. Good to see you. Thank you, Lord, for Cynthia. And thank you, Lord, for giving her that, you know, that fellowship, that love, that companionship, God, in Jesus' name, and working that through her life, God, where she can, you know, move forward with the next phase in her life, dear Jesus, and, you know, let her do it in peace and rest and relaxation and knowing that, you know, we stand still sometimes and see the salvation of the Lord, that she will stand still and see the salvation of God. You're going to teach her how to stand still. Standing still is not easy when you used to move around all the time like I am. If the Lord says, stand still, I'm going like, all right, because if you move forward, you're going to fall into the ditch, you know, like, so be still and know. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that. Amen, in Jesus' name. So sometimes we avoid things by standing still and let things come to us. Like sometimes when you stand still, you know, you don't get out and go get the package. The package is delivered to you. Amen. So let that happen in Jesus' name. All right. Amen. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be free. Let it be. All right. Yeah, and then Marge, $50. Thank you, Marge. Saw that. That'll thank you. Getting enough. Thank you, Lord, for Marge. Thank you, Jesus, for that $50. We thank you, Jesus, God, for the accounting of things. That when we come to the accounting, you know, kind of we're getting a tax refund. Like, oh, boy, I'm making money this year. You know, boy, I'm getting something back instead of having to pay. I'm being paid. Right? May that be her story, God, that she's being paid instead of paying. That Jesus paid the price, that whole payment system thing, that Jesus paid the price and that Margaret is just receiving, you know, payment, receiving payment, receiving payment, receiving payment, receiving payment. Receive it payment. Receive that payment, Marge. Marge. Like Elijah. Like Abraham. Marge. Receive it. Open your hands and receive it right now. I receive it in Jesus' name. I receive it in Jesus' name. A receiver is open. Hallelujah. Koshako mahali. Ototo komoto. Pendo opalawa. I say. Ichikawa hainde. One in a million. I'm loving those numbers these days. Yeah. All right, Angel of Joy, $70. Thank you, Angel of Joy. Thank you, Lord, for that peace, that passive understanding, God, that knowing, her knower. Your knower knows things that our mind doesn't know. Sometimes our minds, our eyes see things. We see what's going on or what's not going on. Our spirit man knows. So that's the knowing part. Lord, I thank you for a whole nother dose of the Holy Ghost, of the knowing, where her spirit man is ruling her life. Her spirit man is supposed to rule. and tell our mind what's happening. Our spirit man is supposed to rule and tell our soul where to go. Tell your soul where to go. Tell your soul where to go. Yeah, he's going to tell your soul just where to go. And when you get there, you're going to go, oh, 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 it's a good thing I listen to you. Your spirit man. How'd you like that? That's just spontaneous. Woo! Because our spirit man is seated with Christ in heavenly places, and yet he's with us. But it's authority-wise and connected-wise, we're connected with, that's why my sheep know my voice. It's your spirit man that's eternally connected. And he knows things. And he knows when something's coming up, you know, coming down and coming around, whatever. Hallelujah, Jesus. By the Holy Ghost. In fire. The Holy Ghost in fire. Call the devil a liar with the anointing on your lips. Yeah. Kicking him out by the hips. Gonna rip, rip, rip. Exposing his lies. Yeah. All right. There you go, whatever that is. All right, Angela from South Carolina. I think you answered. Let me check things. Hang on a second here. Gonna check that thing, gonna get that ring. Gonna check that thing, gonna get that ring. Gonna ring it, gonna ding it. It's 11:11 right now. Whatever that is. Whatever that is. Angela, $71, thank you. Yeah, that ring of authority, that ring, you know, a restoration where, you know, when the prodigal son got his ring, it just wasn't that. He got his shoes, a new shoes, a new robe. Lord, I thank you for the full restoration, God, in his life from the Father, that she will have a new understanding that the Father is waiting for her and everything, where she's learning and growing, and he's just, like, longing for her to, you know, be blessed. Has the best, not just half, not just like half-baked thing like out there with the servant, but with him, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, blessed, favored, loved on, cared about, waiting, longing, has the power to just set you up with, you know, boom, boom. You know, like he's waiting, looking, you know. Not because of a backslidden thing, but because it's a restoration thing. The whole point with this word is about restoration. Restoration. He restored his son, and his son didn't think he was worthy of it, right? He said, oh, Father, if I can just have some food, I'll work with the servants. He said, no, you're my son. Put a ring on his finger. Put his ring on his finger. Put a ring on his finger. Made him a singer, wanted to sing praises to the Lord. With the ring on his finger, he became a real big singer, singing praises to the Lord. You know, little weird songs. You know? There you go. Redirect, reengage, reactivate her life in Jesus' name. All right, Angela, thank you. All right, Nikki and Charles, 8250. I think they should pray. Unspoken request. But thank you. We love you. All right, I love you too. All right, thank you for that one. And I love the other one. Same thing, or do I read the same one? Okay. Yeah, unspoken welcome. All right, thank you, Jesus, for that unspoken request. God, we thank you, Lord, that you know, we go through this thing where we know something belongs to us, and then sometimes God will, like Abraham and Isaac, Isaac belonged to him. It was his heritage from God. And then yet God asked him to yield it over just to see if he would, you know, in his heart. I think you talked about that before. And and that what that did is that, like Job's situation, it activated I don't know if it was a double blessing, but it activated God. So I just wanted to see if he'd do it. And when he did it, then he said, well, now I'm going to really bless you type thing. So I don't know how much it increased than it already was, but I thank you, Lord, for bringing him through this. I think sometimes that she has given over to you, God, done whatever you ask, knowing that I'm content with whatever I have, but if something belongs to me, I want it. And but if you want me to give it back to you, I will. God, because everything you give me is, you know, even when you hand it to me and it becomes mine, I still consider it for your use. And I thank you, Lord, for that attitude, for that love she has for you, Jesus, and call those things that are not as though they were, as far as, you know, things in her family, things in her financial. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Subdue. Let there be a subduing. In Jesus' name, put things under her feet. Amen. In Jesus' name, Charles, God, we thank for Charles, God, to give him that crowning thing, crowning his mind, his heart, crowning his brain, his thinking with a new level of, you know, intellect. You know, God gives us different intellect. Not like intellectual intellect, but it is like thinking in the mind of God. Yeah. In Jesus' name, open him up, God. Let every tradition of man be broken, and let every revelation from heaven be spoken. Woo! Let every tradition of man be broken. Let every word then be spoken. Charlie. Charles. Yeah. But, you know, I've had things in my life that God told me to that. It's, you know, it's tradition. It's a good tradition, but it's not a nice tradition. It's not evil. It's not bad. It's just not pure of mind. I'm like, oh, yeah? What do you mean? And then he starts speaking to me about what he wants. I'm like, oh, my God. So, you know, I went from, you know, believing some normal, obvious, cool thing to something supernatural. From God. You know, in other words, it wasn't just from man. It was from the Holy Spirit, from the Father. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God, for that delivering the word. The delivering the word. In Jesus' name. All right, Deborah Mark, $74. I messed up. $74. Thank you, Lord, for Deborah Mark. Well, I thank you for Mark tonight, God. I thank you, God, that you give Mark that everything that anything, any, you know, scabs or things that we have from things healing up and, you know, recovering from, you know, the shock of the change of everything and just bringing an anointing to recover his you know, his faith in you, God. Every time we get uprooted and we move to a new thing or do a new thing, you know, we're have to, it's almost like we have to relearn some stuff. You know, so I thank you, Lord, for giving him that power, that energy, that strength from the Holy Spirit to teach him and show him, God, how to transition. It can be complete that anything that's left undone, left unhealed, left untransitioned, that will be, he will bless it and give him the peace and the knowledge from the Word of God, from the Holy Spirit, you know, for that transition to be completed. We will feel like, yes, he walked in authority with God in his new position, his new place, and his new thing. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. For Deborah, God, we thank you, Lord, for her. Thank you, Jesus, for the power to, you know, be able to speak the truth and speak it in love and know what love means, that love, when truth speaks, love has a purpose for it. So the truth and love work together. And when they work together, then they can mend the heart. They can help her with that mending arts, God. In Jesus' name, when things are mended, things are blended and mended. Blended by God and mended by God. She's saying that heart-mending anointing in her life, God, in Jesus' name, that the thing to bind up the brokenhearted in Jesus' name and breathe life into them, breathe a new life inside them, Father. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Shekwala mahale potunka pende uape yafreto punsniki pututo awa. Bring it to pass quickly. Hallelujah. Amen. Donald and Tanya, $143. Thank you, Donald and Tanya, for that. Thank you for the hyphenation of things. Hyphenation. In a second, we'll get the hyphenation. Hyphenation. Hang on. Get right back. I got the word hyphenate. I didn't know what that was. Hyphenated. A surname. Kind of reading, but I'm getting H-Y-P-H-E-N-A-T-E. Hyphenated. E-D on it. A person who is active. The noun part. The person who is active in more than one occupation or sphere. As a supreme hyphenate, she was prepared to carry a heavy load as the director, producer, star of her own new film. Hyphenation. Wow. I did not know that's what it was. I thought hyphenation was like something else. That's really unusual. I don't know what that means exactly. Informal. The person who's active in more than one occupation or sphere. That's what I got. Wow. Damn it. Let me look at it. I'm going to know how to spell it. Hyphenated. Right with a hyphen. You know, we don't know what that hyphenated surname. Okay, so I'm not sure what hyphenated word means. Hyphenated word is a word that is contains at least one hyphen. Typically, hyphenated words are compound words. Compound words, which means the hyphen connects two or more words. Okay. I don't have a clue what that means. We use hyphens to combine certain kinds of words. But I get the word hyphenated, so if that's a specific thing. Hyphenated words, okay. I don't know what this is. Anyway, God, let's show that, so we thank the Lord for that, and whatever that means, I don't know. Open it up, Jesus, and reveal what you're saying about all that. Yeah. All right. So bless my brother, God, in Jesus' name. Bless Donald, Father, and show him how to, you know, that giving him that courage to stand up for what he knows God is telling him, and not just what everybody else thinks is right, but what God is telling him, that what you're telling him, Father, he'll be able to have the courage and the backbone at a new level to be able to just go, this is what God is saying. I know you guys are saying your thing, but, you know, I'm not hearing that, so you can do whatever you want, but I got to do what God's telling me. And I thank you, Lord, for, you know, delivering him into that place of your voice and understanding your voice, starting to, you know, depend on you like never before, more and more all the time, where when he hears from you, just like me, when I had to go through that. Like, I had to stand alone a lot of times on things, you know, because that's just the way God wanted it. He wanted me to learn to stand alone because, you know, I'm fixing to go through some of that, too. In a sense, you always have people with you, but it's going to look like you got you're surrounded by, like Elisha and the servant were surrounded, man. it's over, basically. But nope, there was more for them than there was for the army against them. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. There was more for them than against them, and yet they were unseen. And yet the unseen thing, the guy who couldn't see, knew that they were going to lose. But the guy who could see, Elisha, you know, he needed some help with the teamwork thing, so he asked God to open up the servant's eyes. So, Lord, I think that Donald and Tanya, you know, asked God to open up my husband's eyes, open up my wife's eyes. Let her see, or let him see what I see. Let him understand what I understand. And Jesus, I thank you for bringing them together in that, in the name of the Lord, where they can have their eyes open. You know, a man hardly ever sees the way a woman sees, and a woman doesn't see the way a man sees. But we have to ask God to open up their eyes when it's needed. And so I thank you, Lord, for that it brings more unity, brings them to be able to stand together alone with each other in Jesus' name, and power them with the courage, God, to do it in Jesus' name, to not bow to any pressure from anybody. Sometimes God will have the pressure stirred up for a reason, like he did with me. He just, you know, he just gets the pressure all around me, and I'm going like, dear God, I'm going to go down. And then I realized he was training me, showing me, you know, showing me how to stand up and showing me how to tap into that courage from the word and how to depend more on the word than ever. And not just the written word, but, you know, God speaking to me and depending on that and putting my life on it. It's different when you put your life on the line. It is just kind of something that doesn't matter that much. It's different when you put your life on the line or your finances or your family or whatever on the line. Yeah, and thank you, Lord, for that. We need courage like Joshua needed, extra courage. Hallelujah. All right, Haley, $150. Thank you, Haley, from Houston. Thank you, Jesus, for your feet, for your toes. I don't know what's going on with your feet and your toes, but I thank you, Lord, that you let her walk in the Spirit. That her feet, wherever her feet tread, God, wherever she can come in agreement with you and believe, wherever the soles of her feet can tread. No, it's not just your feet, but the soles of your feet tread. Oh, that's just where your feet tread. No, it's the soles of your feet. There's something about that. I don't know what that is. It's more than just walking something out or want something or believing something, but it's where the soles of your feet tread. It shall be yours. So thank you, Lord, for showing how to walk out things, how to pray out things, how to believe you for things, and then that she believes you with passion from the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And, yeah, get the soul of her feet, the thing that her soul, you know, is connected to, not just some thing that comes and goes, but that is, you know, part of who she is believing you, God, in Jesus' name, and she shall have it. In the name of the Lord. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, Terrence, $260. Thank you guys for that. Thank you, Jesus, for the sufficiency of Christ, the sufficiency. So I immediately think when I hear that word, where Paul says, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient." God's really teaching you guys how to live from grace. Like, thank you, Lord, for Terrence. God, thank you, Lord, that you're showing him, like Paul the Apostle, how to live on grace. Because when we live on grace, we live with, it's not about how perfect we are or how, you know, everything we do right, according to the law, we're going to do everything perfect or else. It's not about that. It's by grace. Paul the Apostle had to learn to live under grace because he was a law man, and he was very good. He was very sincere. He was probably one of the most righteous, one of them all, you know, of all the Pharisees and, you know, lawyers and religious people. He was very extremely sincere. That's why God loved him. And yet, you know, he had to learn how to live, you know, not by his own strength to get things done, but by, you know, and so God had to send him some situations that were troubling to get him to, you know, because he knew that he was so powerful, so strong, that it was going to take some extraordinary things to get him to tap into that unmerited favor. You know, like, woo-ah! My God, okay, thank you, Jesus. Pray three times to get rid of this thing. Yeah, and so Paul did, and Paul does, and we do, you know. But God finally said, nah, I'm more interested in your future in preparing you than I am about your comfort. So in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you for that, God, that anointing to live off the grace of God, the unmerited. When you do that and you live off of the grace of God, the true grace of God, what happens is that we tap into things we'd normally not tap into. Yeah, we tap into things. Because we're not coming because of our own righteousness or our own, strength or ability, but we come in because, we just flatly trust in God, knowing that he doesn't have to give it to us, but we pursue him for it, and he does. Unmerited, undeserved favor. And then once that connects in, then we become so dependent on him. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for that dependency on you, Jesus, on me level. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Tanisha, God. Thank you, Lord, for brightening up. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That you begin to bring light to her, Jesus. Make her load lighter. Not because you give her less things to do or be a part of, but that she processes things, in a way that the burden goes from being heavy, not knowing what to do, I don't know why, it's weighing me down, to all of a sudden the light comes on, and she's able to see and understand things. 3,600-fold understanding. Be able to understand things. You can understand things at 30-fold. There's different levels of understanding, obviously, 3,600-fold that Jesus talked about in Matthew 13. So I thank you, Lord, for that, the wisdom and the power and the different levels of understanding, that she will walk in that, live in that. And, so thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Yeah, that the word becomes flesh in her in a whole new way. The word of God becomes flesh. Like the word of God, in the beginning was the word, in John, St. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the word. The word was God. The word was with God. And he dwelt among us full of grace and truth. So I thank you, Lord. And then the word became flesh. It says down in verse 10 or 11, somewhere in 14. And the word became flesh. Lord, I thank you that the engrafted word of James, the meek, received with meekness. Ooh, I never thought about that before. I've always quoted it, received with meekness, but I never realized you said received with meekness. I mean, you'd think you'd get that. Received with meekness. So we had to receive with meekness. Wow, that's awesome. Received with meekness, the engrafted word. So if we don't receive with meekness, it ends up being weakness instead of strength or something. Yeah, so receive with meekness the engrafted word of God for the saving of our soul. In other words, when our soul gets saved, that means we go from, flopping around, having trouble, can't seem to get through it, to all of a sudden we're saved. We get saved from that. We get understanding on it. We go past it. We go on the other side of it. Now we're looking back at it going, man, that was tough. But right now looking at it, it didn't look like much. It was like much of a thing, but it was a thing. It ain't a thing no more. So we thank you, Lord, because your word saves us. It saves us not by taking us out of something, but it takes us through something and empowers us to deal with it within ourselves where we don't fear anything. We have no fear whatsoever. And I thank you, Lord, for that, that your word and your truth sets free. The truth sets free. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right, I'm going to be right back. All right, the connection. Chris, $300. Thanks for Chris. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Well, we thank you for Chris, God. We thank you for that thing where I know Catherine Coleman, who's my favorite, preacher who passed away a long time ago. She is awesome. And, one of the things that she had to do was find a way to chill out and relax. And so what she did, she liked antiques. She loved it. Antiques was the only thing that could take her away from, in her mind, take her away from her stuff, her burdens, her all of the worldwide ministry, her, all the things going on. But thank you, Jesus. I know you sent me that. I got a text from you about your the thing you're going through there. And, man, I would love to be able to get away for a day and do some. that'd be awesome if God allows that to happen. That would be cool. But, you know, I think that that's, you know, very important that we have those things that we, that distract us, that cause us to be able to break away from things so we can enter into a place of rest. You know, even though we're, you know, she would go and do, Kathy Coleman would go and do, you know, look for antiques and finding antiques and looking at them and learning about them. And it was like a, something that, that gave her a bit of freedom and rest from her, you know, ministry burdens. And, you know, so we need that. It's real important. So, Lord, I thank you for Chris, God, that you, you know, that the things that he does, that he learns how to relax and rest and learn how to enjoy, to get just so his mind can be distracted from, you know, the burdens of life and everything. You know, Paul the Apostle had to go through it. And, you know, we don't, one thing that God tells us to do is to make sure that we learn how to take a break, how to break free. And, you know, it keeps us healthy. It keeps us from getting too overloaded. And so I thank you, Lord, for that in his life. I thank you for increasing that, showing him ways to really, when he enjoys himself, that he totally just lets go and relaxes and enjoys himself and has a great time and a great joy, a great time of peace. And you know, it does the work. So, you know, Kathy Coleman had that. You got your stuff. I got some of mine. I love to make things. I love creating things. One of the, you hear me talk about inventions. That's one of the things that takes me away from everything. Even though I'm working hard at that invention, it's like it totally disengages me from stuff, you know, and enables my mind to chill out a little bit so I can, you know, come back to it when I do and, you know, receive some more information or be able to handle things, be able to process. Because in order to process things, which we've been talking about a little bit this week, that if you don't process things properly, they get stuck in there, right? And they create these problems, you know, like it's something stuck in your colon. Eventually, if it keeps, you know, getting stuck in there, you're going to have a stoppage, you know, type thing. And so I thank you, Jesus, for that, for unstopping everything and helping us to relax and enjoy. And just so that, you know, the stress of life, which we all carry, doesn't get us down or get stuck in us, but it passes through, goes to the other side, and you're teaching Chris how to deal with things, how to deal with pressure with family, with friends, with money, with problems, with, you know, ministry stuff, desires to serve God, all that, God. I thank you for all that. And that it's just as important to learn how to rest and enjoy yourself and get distracted as much as it is to pray and seek God. I mean, people don't realize that. But, you know, yeah, so thank you, Jesus, for that, and anoint him to enjoy himself, amen, in Jesus' name, and to sit back and relax, and, you know, like a Sabbath calls you to rest so you can be restored, amen. All right, what an unusual prayer. All right, see if anybody else gave tonight, and if they did or didn't, that would be our last prayer tonight. Thank you for giving. Oh, wait, let's see. All right, I think that is it. Awesome. All right, we're going to call it a night tonight, y'all. I think it's only 11:41, but great night. Got to share some cool things, I think. Hopefully you're able to hear some of that. Hopefully those of you need that. Needed that information. If it's able to help you, I hope it does. Other than that, I think that's, I'm going to call it a night. Make sure I didn't miss anything. Greg, yes, I prayed over you, Greg. I prayed over you earlier. I got in early because you gave it right when I was kind of doing the. Yeah. Got it, bro. Yes, I did. All right. All right. Let's see. at night. Chaplain has asked for prayer to sleep at night. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Open that up for her, dear Jesus, and cause her to know how to rest, how to enter in that rest. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing to do that. We can sleep. We sleep good. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, y'all. I think that's pretty much it. First I can tell. Welcome, my brother. Okay, there it is. Had four people give tonight on Zelle. That's unusual. Cool. All right. Yes, I got everybody, and hopefully, I know people. Sometimes they listen to the show the next day, so they can do that. And if I got everybody, I think let me make double sure here. Yep, yeah, I got everybody. All right, everybody, I'm going to call it tonight. I know we're getting a little bit early tonight. It's only 15 till. All right, we will talk to you guys later. Holy Vader. I like that, yeah. All right, okay, thank you guys tonight. Thank you. We will talk to you guys later. God bless. See you in the future. But